Hello and welcome to Book Talk.
Recording in progress.
We're kind of improvising here today. We are having a problem. Zoom went off the track. But here we are, back for another week. So, Jenny, take it away. I don't see Nolan, but I'm not in the Zoom window yet. So,
Nolan is not here, Jennifer, so you're on your own for a little while.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Gosh, I'm glad that it's another Book Talk day, and I almost didn't make it on time today. We've been getting new appliances today, and that's always fun. It's like Christmas in May. But hope everyone's had a good weeding week. Have you guys read anything interesting, Perry?
I've started a couple of things, but I'm not far enough along to really talk about them. It's a controversial book, but the governor, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, had some controversial things in her book, and I just got the book today, so I haven't really done much with it, but I do it on both sides of the political aisle. Sometimes if it's got some stuff in it that you hear about, I should probably read that just so that I'm informed. So, but there's some interesting stuff apparently in this book, and I'll have to.
Just don't put your dog around her.
No. Well, and apparently, Bill, she claims that she had met the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. Well, apparently that's not true either.
Oh, well, anybody that might shoot a 14-month-old dog and then talk about it, probably you might want to check their reliability. Yeah, but I'd like to read that book, too.
That's probably not something that should be in a book. Absolutely not.
I'm surprised she would admit to doing that.
She said it shows that she knows how to make good decisions. I can't say that was a good decision.
I would not put that on the top chart of things to do. But, you know, I started a new book. I just started a new book by John Lesqua. Is that how it's pronounced, Lesqua?
Yeah.
And it's called The Hunt Club. It's a series. And that, I just started my first, I've only read about 30 pages of it, so we've been appliancing all day and getting things hooked up, and oh my, so yeah, so that's another topic for another time. Yeah,
and I also started, Bill, that book that Nolan recommended last week, the Victor Davis Hanson about World War II, and I'm starting that one, and so far good.
No, that's
How
good.
How many do you usually read at once?
I try to go one at a time, if I can. But you know how that is. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. But
I do, especially audio. Seems like I can't read more than one audio book at a time usually. But Braille, I can sneak in a Braille book.
That I can do. Yeah, Braille, I can.
Yeah. I used to be. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I alternate between a Braille book and an audio book. Like, I'm reading Winesburg, Ohio in Braille because I can read each short story like in one sitting, but then I read an audio book. Sometimes I even alternate MLS with Learning Ally. I have a lifetime Learning Ally membership.
Boy, I bet that cost a small fortune.
Actually, it doesn't. I got grandfathered in when the memberships were free.
Oh. I didn't realize they had other books besides textbooks. I've never really checked into what they have.
They have some fiction. Most of their stuff is either textbooks or academic or just general interest literature. I found things that I haven't found at NLS. I mean, NLS is pretty limited in what they produce.
Yeah.
I can talk about a book I just finished.
Okay.
Oh, you go right ahead.
Did you want?
Yes, go ahead. There's no problem.
Okay. I just finished the book Time and Tide by Thomas Fleming. It's available on NLS. It should be easy to find. There are only three novels by him on the NLS website, and it's a World War II novel about a Navy captain who just goes from one disaster to another, and then it starts with him taking charge of a ship that had already been damaged once and lost the captain, and you find out the captain that was lost was married to the main character's the sister of the main character's wife, and it's this sort of tug of war between the captain, the current captain, his wife, and the previous captain who had died, and that mystery, and that captain's wife, and then all the crew and all these subplots, and it's like, I mean, it ends sort of happily for a few people, but it's not a triumphalist war novel. It's lots of violence, and you know, everyone comes off badly. It focuses on the U.S. It doesn't mention the Japanese side of the war much, and it just all kinds of horrific scenes, being stranded on a raft, you know, having your ship blown up, part of the ship being blown up, and you know, people being killed on a large scale. And I've read other World War II novels, and they're just nothing like this one. It is really, it's a sad book, but it, I think it realistically portrays the war and also points out that war isn't pretty. You know, there aren't always winners and losers. And I highly recommend the book.
And what's the title again?
That's all I've been.
What's the title?
Time and Tide. Oh, Time and Tide?
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Fleming.
Okay.
Oh, did you get that?
Yes.
Time and Tide. Okay. Jenny's got it, and she'll have it. Oh. Perry, do you know how to make Nolan?
I did, yes.
Okay, you did? Okay, I didn't see it on here now.
Yep. Nolan should be with us now.
I'm here.
Can you make him co-host?
He's done that already.
I think
yes, you did.
He already did. I heard it.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't. Of course, done. I don't hear 90% of the things sometimes. But at least you got it. So thank you. We're having some horrendous, maybe my computer is, it's a Windows 11, whatever. I'm having troubles with Zoom with the menu buttons and... it's not good, but we'll persevere and make the best of it.
Weirdly enough, Bill, with my Windows 11 and JAWS, when I went to do Nolan co-host and Jennifer, it went right to it.
Yeah.
Every computer's different.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe Nolan can resolve the issue.
Maybe it depends on if you're running scripts or not, because I don't have any. Outside of whatever Zoom does, I don't have any extra scripts on
there. I don't either.
I'm using Hartgen scripts, and they're really good. They're just really excellent.
But I
Kathy,
can't.
We'll go say ahead. Hi to Kathy.
Yes, let's do that.
Kathy, go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Glad to be here again. I'm doing fine. I've been traveling, but I did get a chance to read Shamed by Linda Castilla.
Oh, good for you.
I love her.
It's a great book, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I when I saw that, I'm like, oh, that I'm going to, I keep hoping I'm going to read more, but I'm doing a lot of other things. But one book a week is not enough.
Yeah.
But
it's a good book, though. If you're going to read one, that's a good one to pick.
Yeah. She always, it always comes out good. And you can read, doesn't matter what order, really, because she always introduces Tomasetti.
You're right.
You know, and gives some background. It's right. Nice if you can read them in order, but you don't have to.
No, that's a very good point.
Yep. Don't have the DB number, but it's in there. Shamed, Shamed.
I'll find it.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I was at my friend's house, and she was listening to a baseball game. So I just said, hey, good time to read.
Well, that would depend on the baseball game.
yeah.
Listen, I don't even know what season it is. I do not care about sports. Sorry. I'm not about it.
It's DB95613.
There you go.
95613.
Everybody, this is a good book. It's about the Amish, and, you know, Kate Burkholder is a sheriff of a small town, and yeah, she gets to some strange. I wonder if the Amish ever read these books, if they're like disgusted.
That's a good question. I've never, I don't know. Yeah.
They're like, are you serious right now? Yeah. You know, because, yeah. But who knows? That's all I got. Well, thank good. You.
Thank Thanks, you. Kathy. Before we go ahead, Nolan, I got an email about Libby, and I know we have people who use Libby. And if you have a digital, or apparently if you have a digital library card, that is going to not be able to be used for Libby as of June 29th. So I think I'm probably gonna have to go to the library and actually get a physical card. I don't know
how would Libby care or know whether you had a physical.
I don't know, but the email said as of June 29th, so I don't know if they're going to do something different with Libby altogether.
That might be just your library too, your system.
Well, that could be too.
Who knows? Yeah. Wow.
Let me check here. Dale, come on in.
Oh, thank you there, Perry. I think it's Perry speaking.
It is.
Hey, I want to direct this email. I want to direct this little comment to Jenny. Jenny, I sent you an email so that way you could add me back in your contacts on this book share. So I just got it just a few minutes ago. I happened to think, oh, I got to get that done. You know, so there it is. I already sent you off one. That way you could re-add me there. And thank you much for a great book club, everybody.
You bet.
Thank you for being here. I'll hand it back to you though, Perry.
Billy.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job.
Very good. Nolan and Jennifer, we don't have any more hands, so we'll throw it to you guys.
Well, do you want to do a book, Nolan, or do you want me to go? I have a good one that I just read.
You go ahead. I've got a whole bunch here. We will not run dry by any means.
Sorry about the long title of this book. This is a true book. It's called Ghost Girl, The True Story of a Child in Peril and the Teacher Who Saved Her. And it's by Tori L. Hayden. And she, I talked about a couple of her books before. She is a teacher, a special education teacher, and as well as a child psychologist and many other writer now and many other things. But she teaches emotionally disturbed children. And in this particular book, it's like she'd been in a clinic working for 3 years and decided that she got an unexpected offer to go back in as a special education teacher. So she goes back to this public school in a different town as a special education teacher. And the students that she has are very interesting. There's one little boy, Reuben, who's autistic, and there was Philip, and he was born to drug addicts, and he's in a foster family. And there's Jeremiah, and he's just always wants to get in a fight with somebody, and he's got a terrible mouth. But I mean, sometimes you end up laughing at him because he's just so obnoxious, and you know he doesn't know probably what he's even talking about. And then there's this little girl named JD, and she's only 8, and she won't talk to anybody in school. She won't say a word, and she walks all hunched over and everything, and she has to kind of turn her head so that she can look up at people because she's always doubled over when she walks. And Tori one day decides that as part of her class instruction, sometimes she likes to video the children and let them like do plays and things like that sometimes, but she likes to watch, you know, how she teaches and everything and go back and look at it later. And she runs the video one morning, and she was going to restart it after lunch, and she realized she didn't have enough tape left in the machine, and she thought that was kind of strange, but she didn't think about it any more than that. So she takes it that evening after class. She sits and watches it, and at the end of what she taped, there's another scene that comes on the end of the tape, and it's this little girl, JD, and she in the video, she ends up standing upright in front of the camera, and she keeps mouthing in front of the camera, "Help me, help me." And this is the story of what was going on in her life and how the teacher helped her. And it's very, her stories are uplifting. To imagine some of the things that happened to these poor kids and how resilient kids are is kind of amazing. And there are some funny moments in it because these kids do some crazy things, but it's a really good book. And once again, it's called Ghost Girl. And I'll put the whole title in the list when I send it out, but it's DB37247.
Okay. Let's go to Don. And while I hit the button for Don, Nolan, I started the Victor Davis Hanson book, and so far so good.
Good.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay. Well, to start with, I just want to say last week I mentioned a book called The Last Bookshop in London, and written by Madeline Martin. And I finished that this morning, and I highly recommend that book. I have to say that I'm glad you like it, Noah, very much. Anyway, I have to say that it's given me some ideas about my fiance's living situation that she's in right now. She's living in a assisted living facility here in Los Angeles. And it's not the Ritz, let's put it that way. The people that live there, they don't have much to do, really. And it's given me some ideas about what maybe we can, I can do, or with Sandy, or with the powers that be, that might, make the lives better of the people that live there. It's given me some ideas, but, they're to be worked out. Anyway, that's, how books can sometimes, give you good ideas, I guess, for lack of better words. Anyway, there's also something else that has caught my attention, another author that's come across my attention. His name is Eric Larson. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He's a historical writer, and I don't know how, I haven't read any of his books yet. I've ordered a couple of them, and I want to see how they are. He's written about the Lusitania, and that book I have ordered a couple of books on. It's kind of confusing about that. One is called, he's written a couple of books about the Lusitania. One is The Lusitania, and the other is Dead Wake. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they're the same story with different titles, or whether there's he's written two different stories about the Lusitania, but I'm going to check that out. And of course, I'll get back to you with the results. What caught my attention was a book that is not out yet, but it's right up my alley. It's called Demon of Unrest. And that should be out later this month. It's about how the Civil War actually got started, the first battle, or the first firing back and forth between the two different sections at Fort Sumter, how that all came about. Mm. And so I'm looking forward to that book. So
you will love Eric Larson.
My recommendations for today.
Yeah, you will absolutely love Eric Larson, I promise. He captures you and he holds you, and he is just, he does magnificent work. I don't know the guy's capable of a bad book. I don't know where he would be, because I've never seen one. So I'm glad for you. I join you in your anticipation, because that'll be a good experience, I can promise. You'll really like it.
And we're caught up on the hands, so Nolan, we'll throw it to you.
Well, my book, isn't nearly as good as Don's recommendation. Incidentally, if you want more data about Eric Larson, you can download the dedicated podcast by Doug Brunt, B-R-U-N-T. Brunt is himself an author who wrote an outstanding book about Rudolf Diesel, the guy who invented the diesel engine. That's an interesting coincidence. He interviewed last week Eric Larson, so it's like a 90-minute interview, and it was an outstanding interview. He did a nice job with it, and if you can download that, you'll learn a great deal more about his life. Unfortunately, I'm going to talk about a book that I can only recommend in pieces. This is called Magnificent Desolation, The Long Journey Home from the Moon by Buzz Aldrin, A-L-D-R-I-N. The order number, should you really want to download this, is DB69784. Once again, DB69784. What I would tell you about this book is this. This is a memoir by the last living Apollo 11 astronaut. The other two, of course, are now dead, long dead in Armstrong's case. Aldrin is still alive at 94. I don't know what his status is in the world or anything, but this is essentially his memoir. It's the first four chapters are magnificent. If you can read these, it'll be worth the download because you will learn things about the Apollo mission that no matter how much of an expert you are on it, you might not have known. It's really good, really solid reading. It's very interesting, fascinating stuff. From chapter 5 forward, the book becomes a morass of celebrity name-dropping and boring evangelizing. It's just awful. He deals with his life after the moon trip and what happened. And you probably know enough about Aldrin's life to know that he spiraled out of control, became deep into a deep depression, and absolutely was an alcoholic of the first order, burned through two marriages, and at one point he was reduced to selling Cadillacs in Southern California because he could find nothing else to do. Nobody wanted him. Air Force booted him out. NASA didn't want anything to do with him. I guess I felt sorry for that. Mostly I found this book. I've always thought of Aldrin, and this is just me and it's my personal opinion, I've always thought of Aldrin as kind of a blowhard, you know, kind of a bombast, kind of just that guy who had a loud mouth and spouted it all the time. And, you know, you'll read stories about how he tried to be the first man to touch the surface of the moon, and Armstrong, much quieter, but very much in command, said, no, Buzz, that's my job. And I'm going to do that. I'm the commander here. And so you read those stories, and he lightly touches on that here, denies that, of course, that no, that's not how it really was. He spends the bulk of the book evangelizing about his space exploration ideas, very few of which have come to pass other than through people like Elon Musk, perhaps, and SpaceX, maybe a couple of other companies like that. But on balance, this is after chapter 4. This is not a book you want to keep listening to, in my judgment. But if you're really, really a big fan of Buzz Aldrin, then maybe this is your book after all. There are some pathetic moments in here, a lot of pathos, the recovery from alcohol as a result of the influence of a woman whom he met. And I don't know if he's still with her or not. I have no knowledge what his current life status is. Again, this is called Magnificent Desolation, The Long Journey Home from the Moon, DB69784.
Jennifer.
This book, I have to say, I did not like this book. I have the sequel to it, and I don't know if I'll ever read it. This book has been on the bestseller list for a long time, so I guess that doesn't mean anything, does it?
Not always.
And it's the first book I ever read by this lady. Maybe I should have picked a different one. It's called It Ends With Us, and it's by Colleen Hoover.
Ugh.
And she It's about this girl, this lady named Lily Bloom. And the book opens with her sitting on the rooftop trying to get her thoughts together after her father's eulogy. And her father was very abusive to her mother, and she tried several times to get her mother to get help, and she would do things with, as a young girl, to try to stop him from beating her up and all of this. And her mom asked her to give the eulogy when her father dies, and she stands up and she says, "Let me tell you 5 great things about my father." And you hear nothing but silence until she steps down, because she can't even tell him 5 things. And anyway, while she's up there on the rooftop, she meets this man named Ryle, who's a neurosurgeon going through his residency to become a doctor. And she falls in love with Ryle, and she finds out, and she thinks things are going pretty well for her. She makes friends with his sister, and she gets to open up her flower shop, which had always been a big dream. So she in Boston, and because she had a friend when she was a little girl that always told her things will be, everything's better in Boston. And she opens her flower shop, and she's all thrilled about that. So then she marries this doctor, and he abuses her just like her mother was abused. And it's the book is how it's his is over jealousy, because she still has feelings for this young homeless boy that she fell in love with, that was really her first crush. And Ryle keeps thinking that she's involved with him, because she kept a refrigerator magnet that he'd given her for her birthday when she was 16 and different things like that. And he gets very, very mean and abusive when he gets angry and jealous. And the reason I think I didn't like it is because she was so hypocritical about her mom, and how, oh, well, she should have done this, and she should have never put up with him doing that. She should have left him the first time he ever abused her and did all this stuff. And you know, when it happened to her, she didn't leave him the first time. She kept giving him, she gave him 2 or 3 chances to not do it. So I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way, because, I mean, she eventually does do the right thing, but, you know, it takes getting pregnant and finding out, you know, that she's going to be a mother and before she does it. And I don't know. It's just hard for me to imagine that somebody would put up with being abused by somebody for no good reason. And as strong as she acted like she was in talking to her about her mother, you know, I thought for sure that she wouldn't put up with it. But anyway, if you decide that you want to read it, and then I guess the love story parts are good, and I think it probably works out the way it's supposed to in the end. But it is called It Ends With Us, and it's by Colleen Hoover, and it's DB86517. You read that, didn't you, Nolan?
Yeah, I read a couple of things by Hoover, and I don't like her I don't know. There's just something that grates about her writing style. Edgy. It's too edgy for me, or so. I don't know. It's a little. It bothers me. So,
I got the one. The next one. The second one in that series called It Starts With Us, and I'm darned if I'm. It's going to be a long time before I ever read it.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what to say other than I agree with you. It's not something. It's not an author that I would normally gravitate to. She's a little edgy. You can call me a prude. I get that. But I don't know. There's just a lot of, I think, gratuitous sex in some of those books, and I don't need it. I don't. It's not helpful. So
it's just her. I just didn't like the character well.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I could deal with the sex if it's part of it adds to the plot or something, but I just didn't like her as a person. Right.
That's just, I think Hoover is really edgy, and I think that's the writing style, and
She does not appear in my collection of stuff that I have yet to read. So we up for a short story collection, because this is really fun. Sure. I recommend it wholeheartedly. This is the Julius Katz Collection, and that's Julius Katz, Katz Collection. The author is Dave Zeltserman, Zeltserman, and the order number, if you're eligible to download these things, is DB105595. Once again, 105595. This is a fun collection of stories that are somewhat similar to the Rex Stout Nero Wolfe stories of many, many years ago. Oh, it's modernized to a great degree, and obviously it's a different author. Julius Katz is a gourmet who lives in Boston. He likes the finer things. He has a well-stocked wine cellar, and in it are the best possible kinds of wines you can possibly imagine. Julius is inherently lazy. He has an artificial intelligence device that fits that lives inside operates inside a tie pin. Think of an Amazon smart speaker at a billion times its current abilities, only it lives inside a tie tack or a tie pin that Julius can wear and take with him everywhere he goes. The artificial intelligence is named Archie. This is a cute series short stories about these two. Again, Julius is lazy, really doesn't want to take a case if he doesn't have to, but he does solve mysteries. Archie is the AI who wants to have more and more exposure to the world so that he can enhance his neural networks, his learning system. And so the two of them are always a bit at odds about these things. It's a fun little series of short story collection. Archie has little cameras through which he's able to see the world and assimilate data. And he is able to communicate with Julius through an earpiece or through a wireless phone, a cell phone, whichever. When Julius gets angry with Archie for whatever reason, he turns him off, just as you unplug your Amazon smart speaker or your Google Play device, home device. And it's just huge fun. Let me just give you a quick synopsis of a couple of these stories. In the first story, which is called Julius Katz, it's a novella. Norma Brewer hires Katz to stop her brother from spending all of her mother's estate. The old woman lives in a Alzheimer's generated fog in some sort of a place. And, she has no idea what her son is doing to the money supply that she has available. He's going through it like crazy. Norma wants it stopped. She hires Katz to help her figure out a way to do that. Before this ends, alas, Norma Brewer is murdered by someone, and Julia has to solve that case in rather an unorthodox way that Archie doesn't initially understand, but when he learns it, it certainly enhances his neural network, as it were. Archie's been framed is another great story. He signs up on a dating site, and he meets a lovely woman named Denise Penny. He does all he can to convince her of his reality. Of course, he doesn't want her to realize that she is in touch with a tie tack, right? So he shows her his driver's license, which he hacked into a state motor vehicle site to procure. When someone murders Denise, poor Archie is the guy they come after. But of course, the cops don't realize that Archie is an AI on a tie pin. So it's now up to Julius to take the case and clear his AI, because he doesn't want the world to know that this little creature, this little device exists. The technology is so advanced that he really prefers that others aren't aware that it is available. The stories go on like that. There's one in which Archie finally gets to solve his own case, and they're great fun, I think, on balance. Not all of them are fantastic, but many of them are quite good. Again, this is called The Julius Katz Collection by Dave Zeltserman, Zeltserman, DB105595.
I think we all need fun things sometime, don't we?
Once in a while, yeah.
Every once in a while. Let's go to the state of Texas and see what's up down there. Come on in, caller from the 682 area code. You got to hit the unmute button.
This is Calandra.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I just came in when you were talking about those books. I've read some good ones. One of them that I recently got from the library is about this book called Echo. It's a children's story, and it's about a great amount of kids that have been either placed in foster care or had hard times with their families, and they're going through war and all of this other stuff. But Echo is a good book. It starts off as a beautiful story of some kids playing hide and seek, but at the same time, there is music playing in the background, and they have songs and everything, and the people that wrote the lyrics, and then it says goodbye and good night, Bronze Lullaby. It has all sorts of songs to go with the book. And it's by Pam Munoz Ryan. And I forgot the DB number, but Echo's a good book, even if it is a children's book. It's really good.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that is our only hand. So, Jennifer.
Well, let's see. I guess I can tell you about this book called Dark Tide. I don't think I told you about it before. I hope not. It's still on my list of books to talk about, so I really goofed up or I was halfway asleep. It's by Elizabeth Haynes, and it takes place in England, and it's about a lady named Genevieve, and she has a high pressure sales job in the daytime, and she decides that she wants to get out of that job. She hates her boss. He picks on her, and he always pressures all of them to do better no matter what in this software sales job that she's in. So at night, she'd always been close to her father, and her father died 2 years before this book takes place, and she still. And one of the things that they'd always talked about was they had a dream that they would get a boat and live, you know, just go off the grid and live on this boat, on this houseboat on a river. So she decides that that's really what she wants to do. She wants to leave this high-pressure sales job and go off and live on the boat for a year and fix it up and see what she wants to do after that. So she takes up pole dancing at night as a second job to make extra money, because she can make quite a bit of money because she's really good at it. And she does this. And then when she finally gets the boat, she has a boat warming party and invites some of her London friends. And that night after the party breaks up, she hears something thumping against the side of the boat, and she goes out. And she sees that there's a body in the water, and it ends up being a lady that she used to dance with, that she was friends with, that's been murdered. And so the police come and question her, and she's trying to keep everything that happened in her old life in the past. And of course, you know, that's not going to work. But and they come and look on her boat, and they do all kinds of things, and it's about the background of what happened to her before she went to the boat, and why she wants to try to protect the boat and herself. And it was a pretty good book. It was, I think, the second book that Elizabeth Haynes had written. So I would probably read another one. I have some of her other ones to read. And it was pretty good. It was by, it's called Dark Tide, and it's BR19887, if you want to read it in Braille, which I did, or DB76303.
Very cool. So, are we up for a little thriller? Because this is a really good one, I thought.
Since we were in England just a minute ago with Jennifer's book, we're going to stay in that region at least. We're going to go to Dublin, Ireland for this book. This is called The Liar apostrophe S Girl, The Liar's Girl by Catherine Ryan Howard. I really enjoy her work. I read something earlier in the year called Distress Signals that just, wow, it will convince me not to do a cruise. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Catherine Ryan Howard is her name with a C, Catherine, and the order number is 93848, DB93848. So, someone murdered Allison Smith's best friend, Liz. And clearly that's not a good thing. Allison's boyfriend, Will, confesses eventually to Liz's murder and to that of several other young freshman female students at the fictional St. John's College of Dublin, Ireland. They locked him in a psych ward for 10 years, and they're on the cusp of transferring him to a full-blown prison when someone murders another freshman student in exactly the same way in which Liz and the other students 10 years earlier had been killed. We have a problem. Either the cops have a copycat killer on their hands, or, well, they've got the wrong guy in custody, because Will certainly could not have committed these most recent murders. He agrees to cooperate with the cops and tell them things he knows that he hasn't shared up to now, but only through Allison Smith. She has to be the mediator. That puts her in an interesting spot, because Allison booked it out of Ireland as soon as her boyfriend was found guilty of the murder of her friend Liz, and she had been living in the Netherlands for those 10 years. They bring her home because she is the only intermediary through whom Will communicate and provide any details that might help the officials put this together. This is a good thriller. You're not going to get dizzying fast action here. This isn't about flying fists and speedy cars and loose women and whatever else you think you're into if you like your fast action books. However, this is a great thriller because pieces that were once clouded or opaque peel back to reveal a much more clear scene and a much better or much more different situation than you might have realized. The last 20% or so is a great example of pages that will drive you forward right to the back of the book, and with real intensity on your part. You will not want to miss a word. It's a great suspenseful scene, and you want to know how this is all going to come out in the end. It's a great example of excellent writing that's going to satisfy your need for high-end entertainment from a book. Again, it is The Liar's Girl by Catherine Ryan Howard, DB93848.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. She's an excellent, excellent writer.
And the callers are quiet, so.
Gosh, that's unusual. Well, let's see. I think I can do this real quick. Web of Evil by Judith A. Jantz.
Mm-hmm.
That is the second book in the Ollie Reynolds series. And in this one, Ollie, you know, she's been living in Sedona, and she helps her mom out occasionally at the Sugarloaf Cafe, and oh, they're just cool people. But anyway, she's getting ready to get a divorce, and the day that her divorce is about to become final, well, they haven't divorced yet, but she'd filed, I think. But anyway, her husband gets murdered, and she is, of course, suspected of it, and she has to get her son Chris, who lives with her, and her high school friend Dave Holman help her solve the crime of who killed him. And of course, there's lots of blog entries in this, and you visit with her mom and dad again, who are just really fun people at the Sugarloaf Cafe. And it's just a really good book. I can't say a lot too much, or I'll give it away. But it's Web of Evil and it's BRC00710 or DB64483.
All right, very cool.
Well, now they're coming in bunches. So, Gil, you're going to be up next. We'll go back to Calandra briefly, and then, Gil, you'll be up right after her.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking of this other book. What was it called? Family of Lies by Mary Monroe. For those of you who do not like a lot of stuff, I don't like a lot of language in it either. It may not be a good book, but it's a good book. It is by a Christian writer, supposedly. It's about three people who live different lives, but yet go, they're living in a place together. And, well, Sarah, who is a child of Kenneth, finds out that she was a child of an adulterous affair. Vera somehow meets up with this lady way before she dies. They go back maybe 15, 16 years before. And then somehow Kenneth and Sarah come together, and the grandmother of Sarah's is a part of the deal until she dies. It's a complicated story. It's an extra long book. But it's by Mary Monroe, and I think she wrote a lot of other books, but it's a very good book to read. And I forgot the DV number.
What's the title?
Family of Lies.
Okay.
Family of Lies.
By Mary Monroe. She wrote a bunch of other books too, called like God Don't Like Ugly and then some other ones. My sister told me about a great deal of them. She wrote The Upper Room, in which I got that on CD.
Okay, very good. Let's proceed to Gil. And he should be unmuted. There he is.
I'm here. Hi, everyone. I read a couple of really good books this last week or so that I thought I'd share. One is called The Bright Spot, and it's DB 119-178, and it's by Jill Shalvis, and it's basically a romance, but it's also a lot of family and human relations type stuff. I'm seeing a trend in romances recently that there's more family and other relationships thrown in, not just the romance. And actually, it's a trend I kind of like. But in this book, a woman is hired by an older gentleman to manage a farm. And they have orchard. They have all kinds of things on this farm. And they rescue animals that nobody else wants, and she is fantastic manager. Well, the old man dies that owns it, and she finds out that he's left half of it to her and half of it to this business manager. And she finds out eventually that the old man was her biological grandfather, but she never knew that when he was alive. And she comes to believe that he hired her to run this farm just feeling sorry for her, basically, and kind of gave her the job just to make up for not being a part of her life, I guess. But anyway, she has collected all sorts of fun, zany people and animals on this farm, and it's her life. And but she finds out when the business manager comes in that they're in lots of trouble, and they had a balloon loan that they payoff is coming soon and they don't have the money. So she's afraid they're going to lose it, and all these people she's gathered are going to lose their jobs, and it's kind of a mess. So she's got a challenge ahead of her, but I think it's a very, very good book. It's fun, and I enjoy the animals, some of their antics, and enjoyed the people, and on top of the romance. So I think it's a great book.
Cool. Very good. Thanks.
That sounds good. Yeah. The romance is
another, or do I have time?
You got time. Yeah, you got time. Go ahead.
Okay. Doug and Bill. This one is called Riverbend Reunion, and it is DB119814, and it is by Carolyn Brown. And it's a gal inherits a church, an abandoned church out in the kind of out in the country, not close to a not real close to a town, not in a town, and it happens to be on the border of like three counties or something, or four counties or something, and the one it's actually in is allows liquor, but the other three are dry, and so she's sitting there trying to decide what to do with this abandoned church. The steeple's blown off the roof, and she meets a person from the past there, and a guy, and they get to talking, and decide that it might make a pretty good bar, and so they decide to go together and turn this abandoned church into a bar. And of course, the close towns, people there are dry counties, and they don't want this bar. It's really a fun story. I've always been fascinated by abandoned churches or abandoned towns or whatever, and it sparked some of that interest in me when I found this book. And of course, I try to read every Carolyn Brown book I can find, but once again, it's got a lot of relationships and things like that in it, not just romance. So it's kind of a fun story of how they deal with the townspeople, and she gathers old friends to the bar to help her run it, and there's a lot of interesting relationships there that keep the book interesting. So anyway, I think it's a great book.
Cool, very good, thanks.
Very good. We got about 2 minutes, so
by any chance, is that a first book in a series, Gil?
I'm not sure. It may be. I'm not sure.
I don't remember who the author is, but there's a couple of romances that I've read that are all sort of in a, I'm not sure it really says that it's a bar. I mean, I think it's actually an old honky-tonk kind of bar. Maybe it's not the same series, but it does sound familiar for some reason. The series.
Carolyn Brown did write a series centered in a bar where a gal inherits a bar, and then I think she falls in love and passes it to someone else who takes over in the next book, and then that woman falls in love and passes the bar along to somebody else in the series.
Yeah,
and the series progresses like that. So yes, that's a different series.
And it's a good series too. I mean,
I enjoyed it as well. But
Well, it just sounded. I'm glad I asked. By the way, I don't have a way to raise my hand right now, and instead, I just am unmuted and came in unmuted. I'm not sure why that's so.
Well, you got here. That's all that matters.
Yep. I think the problem is Bill was having Zoom issues today, and Zoom is it had the Zoomies today, so we were kind of muddling along for a while. So
it'll be back to normal next week.
Yep. Everybody was here, and everything was fine.
It'll be back to normal next week. You will be muted when you come in. It was just one of those types of things. Logistically, they're here working, and I'm trying to divide between two and Zoom with this new workplace and whatever. And my anyway, yep. You don't want to hear all that. But anyway, it'll be fixed is the long and short of it.
Did you have a book, Deb, or did any specific?
Actually, no, nothing. Okay. I hadn't very good luck this week. It's not been a good week for me to find books that I thought were good. Found a couple. I've decided that I will not be reading anything by the same author again. But,
well,
I guess so. I've had a week like this. That's been this week for me, too. I don't remember when I've had more unhappy books, more books that I was unhappy with than this week. I don't know.
Things will be better next week. That's what we always keep saying.
Well, it was a great show anyway.
Right. And so, hey, we're just thankful we've got a show. Muted, unmuted, we're just glad we've got one.
Well, the interesting thing is today, what you guys don't know is I was having to do things today that I normally don't do, and it took me a minute or two to figure them out. So you guys, I think we all came through it together.
Yeah.
Well, you did fantastic, as always, Perry.
Yeah, nobody would have known.
Right, and nobody would have known, and I was putting out fires in here, and so it just happens that way sometimes, and it's life. When you think you've got it all going, things happen. Nolan, thank you so much, Perry, Jennifer, and the podcast will be up shortly, and it will be ready to go.
Recording stopped.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Menu, system, leap encoders, OSC encoder, encoding.